This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers.
In Minneapolis, where we literally just got in the room. And a place that is very special to Ray Dittinger because it's where he and his son had the opportunity to share a Super Bowl championship about three blocks from where I'm sitting at U.S. Bank Stadium. Ray, welcome.
Oh, you bring back fond memories, Steve. That's Minneapolis will always have a very special place in my heart because that's where I actually got to see the Eagles win their first Super Bowl, and I actually, as you said, got to share it with my NFL Films cameraman son, and that was a very, very special day.
Have you ever looked at the footage he shot?
Oh, seen it a million times because he got the money shot that day. He got the he was shooting the Nick Foles wiring, which means that he was the one that shot that whole sideline conversation between Doug Peterson and Nick Foles when they cooked up the Philly special for that goal line play right before halftime. That wiring shot that has been aired probably a million times by now and will probably be aired. That'll probably be running in a loop forever at the Pro Football Hall of Fame, was actually shot by my son.
What is it like for you? I know we're going to get to a couple of topics in a moment, but what is it like for you as a father knowing he did that?
Oh, it's wonderful. I mean, I often refer to it as it was the perfect ending for the perfect day. I mean, it was everything about that, with what that all represented for the Eagles franchise and for the Philadelphia fan base to, you know, finally get to the Super Bowl against the evil empire and against Belichick and Brady, and you know, and win it with a backup quarterback and win it with a coach that nobody took seriously, and to see the way the Philadelphia fans took over Minneapolis that week and then especially that day was, you know, it was tremendous. It was just great. It was the fulfillment of everybody's ambition. It was the fulfillment of everybody's dream, and it was. You know, and it was a wonderful healing for all the suffering that the Eagles fans have been putting up with all those years. That was great. And you know, it's one of the great things about NFL Films, Steve, is if it wasn't for NFL Films and if it wasn't for the, you know, Ed Sable's brilliant idea years and years ago to wire coaches and players on the field. To this day, we would never know what went down with Philly Special. I mean, we would always think that, you know, it was a moment of inspiration for Doug Peterson. You know, that Nick Foles came trotting over the sidelines, and Doug Peterson said, "Hey, let's run Philly Special," and Foles would have went out there and run it and scored the touchdown, and it would have been great. But, you know, to actually see how the whole thing went down, and to actually see that it was Nick Foles that called that play. You know, that he's the one that says to Peterson, "Hey, how about Philly?" Which it makes it even funnier that he has the wrong name for the play, but you know, that he's the one that suggests it, and then Peterson who's looking at his flip card and obviously not thinking that at all. You know, he sort of looks up with this bewildered look on his face, and then realizes, you know, hey, you know, that's not a bad idea. And then he says, yeah, let's do it. I mean, it's practically like drawing it up in the dirt in the schoolyard kind of play. But to roll that out there at the goal line right before halftime of a Super Bowl against Belichick and against the Patriots and pull it off is just tremendous. And we wouldn't know the whole arc of that story if we didn't hear the wiring. The wiring is what makes the whole thing brilliant.
Yeah. That's exactly right. And then, of course, they are the ones that turned it into theater with music over the years and everything. It's incredible. All right, so now I'm going to transition. I think you'll like the transition. Two players that were pivotal that day, Fletcher Cox, Jason Kelce, have now decided it is time to retire. So when you look at this, Ray, and you see that they've retired – what have they lost, not just in player, but what have they lost in leadership with the two retiring?
Oh, it's huge. You know, it's huge, and I don't know how you go about replacing that. I really don't. That's, you know, they are, in terms of games played, Cox and Kelce, rank second and third in the history of the franchise. I mean, they played, you know, Cox played 180-some-odd games. Kelce played 190-some-odd games. I mean, they played more games than the Bednariks, the Van Burens, the Ridge. I mean, all of those guys. I mean, in terms of games played, I mean, they're ahead of everybody, with the exception of Brandon Graham. So, and not didn't just play, but played in but exercised just tremendous leadership and influence on that team. There is no question that Kelce, regardless, I mean, other quarterbacks came and went. I mean, we went through, we had Michael Vick, we had Carson Wentz, we had, Foles, and we had all of these guys, and now Hurts. But the leader of the offense, the guy that everybody listened to, was Jason Kelce, and for good reason. I mean, he was that smart, and he was that good. And he was that tough. I mean, as a guy that like never missed a game. I mean, he had 157 consecutive starts. So I mean, everything you wanted in a football player, everything you wanted in a leader, you had that in Jason Kelce. And on the other side of the ball was Fletcher Cox, who I think only missed six games in his 12 seasons. So yeah, they were the voices that everybody respected in that locker room. And I don't know how you go about replacing guys like that. The fact of the matter is, you don't. I mean, other leaders will emerge, because that's just the nature of things. But again, will they find anybody that can achieve ultimately the kind of tenure and stature of those two guys? Very unlikely.
Free agency means a lot of movement at this time of the year. DeAndre Swift is going to be a Chicago Bear. And when it's all said and done, Saquon Barkley will be a Philadelphia Eagle. What were your thoughts when you saw Barkley migrate about 120 miles south?
Surprised. The rumors started last week that there was real interest on the Eagles' part for Saquon Barkley, and that Barkley was interested in playing for the Eagles. So we heard that, and I kept thinking, this really isn't the Eagles' way of doing business. Generally, is they've been very successful now for a lot of years, with Howie Roseman making these decisions. And they have never been a team that invested a whole lot of money or resources in the running back position. You know, they kind of abided by the conventional wisdom of the NFL now, is that, you don't spend a whole lot of money at the running back position. You don't invest a whole lot of high draft picks at the running back position. You know, you can win Super Bowls, as Andy Reid has proven in Kansas City with Pacheco. You can win Super Bowls with 6th and 7th round draft picks back there. And the Eagles have kind of subscribed to that. But, now all of a sudden, here comes Saquon Barkley, who is still, I do believe this, and certainly you know this better than anybody, having seen his whole college career, is a remarkable athlete. I mean, he's just a rare athlete. I mean, there's just not too many people that have his combination of size and speed and versatility that they offer to an offense. And guys like that just don't become free agents all that often. And so the lure was there for the Eagles to make what's a pretty bold move. You know, and good for Saquon Barkley. I mean, he gets a chance to kind of come home, and for a lot of money. I mean, if you're a running back in today's NFL, and you can negotiate a contract that's going to make you a minimum $12 million a year, if you can get to that figure as a running back in today's NFL, good for you, because it's hard to do. But Barkley did it, and now, now he comes in, and I got to tell you, Steve, there's a lot of excitement here. People in Philadelphia are kind of like me, a little surprised that Barkley is going to be an Eagle, but they know him from Penn State and have certainly seen him in Giants blue, and the idea of bringing him here to Philadelphia and putting him in this offense has got people pretty excited.
Well, they're all taking off those Sanders nameplates, and they're now putting on Barkley nameplates going from one
exactly.
Penn State running back to another.
Exactly.
What's interesting, you talked about the money part of it, because Derrick Henry signed today with the Baltimore Ravens, and it's a 2-year, $20 million deal. It's less than Barkley, and it's fewer years than Barkley. That really fits in with what you're talking about as to what the, quote, going rate is for a running back in the NFL right now.
Yeah, I mean, if you can get over $10 million a year as a running back, you're doing really well. And Saquon got that, you know, and with various clauses that are built into his contract, that if he hits certain incentives, he can, you know, this thing could go from $36 million to $45 million really easily.
Yes.
And that's fine. And look, I can't claim to know him nearly as well as you do from having been around him up at State College, but every time I've been in his company, I have been tremendously impressed by the kind of person he is. I mean, he just strikes you as a real solid citizen, you know. And I think the fact that he was the New York Giants NFL Man of the Year nominee 2 years running speaks to that. I mean, he's kind of everything you're looking for. I mean, he is the kind of guy that could very easily be the face of your franchise, which I kind of think he became in New York. And the people in New York are genuinely mad about this. I mean, he was really popular up there, even though there are some people that would write that, you know, his career was, you know, he had his injuries for sure, and, you know, the team had a losing record during most of those years, and but nobody held that against him. I mean, I don't think anybody thought that it was his fault. And there are a lot of people that are questioning the Giants' decision of a year ago to invest all of their money in Daniel Jones and just slap a franchise tag, you know, sort of a placeholder on Saquon Barkley, and now you find a year later that Saquon Barkley is leaving, and now the Giants, if you're the Giants, you're thinking about drafting a quarterback, and, you know, that makes your decision to to invest the money they did and the years and they did in Daniel Jones, you know, a decision that was sort of a head-scratcher at the time, it makes it look even worse now.
Well, this is what you're getting. Everything you said, the athlete, the NFL Man of the Year candidate, and so forth. The Eagles are also getting a guy that is about team. Saquon doesn't care about stats. He cares about team and winning, and I think that played into his decision to go to Philadelphia, because I think he looked over at Hurts and those guys and said, you know what, they can win. He just wants to win, and that's what he's all about.
That seems to be the way he's approaching this, with that in mind, the decision makes a lot of sense for him, because he does have an opportunity now. Look, I don't think the Giants are close to winning anything, you know, and I don't know when they will be. At 27, given the shelf life of your typical NFL running back, if Saquon Barkley is ever going to have a chance to make a run at a championship, maybe win a Super Bowl, it wasn't going to happen in New York. If he's looking for a landing place, he's got one here. I mean, this is a team that's been to the playoffs, you know, 3 years in a row. I mean, they crashed and burned this year for sure, but it wasn't that long ago they were 10-1. So they've, you know, they've got some players here. And when you think about that offense, and you think about some of the playmakers they have on that offense, you know, with A.J. Brown and, you know, Devontae Smith and Dallas Goedert, who's a really good tight end, and you know, Jalen Hurts, who last year was an MVP candidate at quarterback. You put Saquon Barkley out there, and a really good offensive line, even without Jason Kelce. I mean, that's a lot of firepower on that offense. It's certainly going to be the best offense that Saquon Barkley's ever played in. So for him, I mean, a chance to step into that situation, have a chance to win, and also have this sort of coming home feeling makes perfect sense.
Yeah, and one final question for you, Ray, then I'll let you go, because I really appreciate the time today. They locked up Dickerson on the offensive line, which you referenced. Free agency, to me, always sets up how you want the draft. So what kind of sense, you know, positionally should the Eagles look at in the draft based on what they've done in free agency?
Yeah, I think you're looking defense here. I really do. And if anybody saw the Eagles down the stretch last year, I mean, you know how that defense collapsed down the stretch. And frankly, it was a defense that really didn't play well all year, to be honest with you. I mean, even at 10-1, you watched them play, and they're giving up tons of big plays on defense. I mean, their secondary was just being shredded, and their linebackers were almost non-existent. I mean, you go through a whole game and you didn't even know who the linebackers were. So,
right.
I mean, they had some pretty good players on the defensive line, but they had nothing at linebacker, and they had very little in the secondary. So that's it, Dave. That's it, Steve. I mean, if you're going into the draft, those are the areas that they have to address, and I would be very surprised. They never draft linebackers in the first round. That's just something they don't do. But I would be very surprised if that first round draft pick is not a corner. I think they need that young lockdown corner to begin rebuilding that secondary.
Ray, an absolute pleasure. Thanks so much. Really enjoyed it, and I will salute U.S. Bank Stadium as I walk by it tonight.
Well, you do that, Steve. Enjoy, and it's always great talking to you. Take care.
Same. Thanks so much, Ray.
All right.
Hall of Famer. The Hall of Famer. I mean, that's because he's one of the best ever.